We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Shut up!
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Hope that you are listening to this either on the way or with already family and friends. Quick news on the top. Large tasting menu to follow. We love to taste it. We're going to be doing a lot of tasting this week on our plates, hopefully. First things first, Virginia and Virginia Tech. That football game has been canceled. We are recording this just after 8:30 Eastern time on Monday night. The game has been canceled. The decision follows communication between the ACC, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. I think this is the right call here.
Definitely.
Neither of these teams need a bowl game. Neither of these teams, like you just don't have to do this.
Yeah. One thing about this that I will say, in case you missed it, I didn't watch Virginia Tech Liberty live last week, but I saw just today, actually, that when Virginia Tech ran out of their tunnel before that game, they were carrying the UVA flag.
Brings a tear to the eye.
It was really that's beautiful. Awesome. I think that we see in college football, and we've seen this a number of times with severe weather situations, for instance, where you know a school won't want to play a game and you get into some very weird or like COVID LSU cancellations a couple
LSU
years
in
ago.
Florida. Are you talking about LSU
Clemson and FSU in the COVID year, LSU in Florida with some hurricanes, Arkansas State with Miami. Oh, you've seen like real human circumstances be met by petty bitching really in college football. And I just think it was really beautiful that Virginia Tech and Virginia have kind of shared some mutual support in this last week. And obviously the right call if this is what they're doing.
Of note, Mike Hollins, the fourth person who was shot on the bus, the football player who was shot on the by the other football player who was shot on the bus. He has been discharged from the hospital, according to ESPN and his mother on Twitter. The fifth student who was shot on the bus, Marley Morgan, is recovering at home with her family, according to ESPN. We wish both of them a speedy recovery. I get it. And all things considered, I imagine they... As I heard, it was on the table to move to Championship Saturday. Like, that was the decision here. Do we cancel it outright or do we move it to Championship Saturday and play a Championship Saturday? I do wonder if there would have been a... And I don't mean in a nefarious way. Like, I'm literally wondering if the outcome would have been different here if the game was scheduled to be in Charlottesville versus scheduled to be in Blacksburg. Remember, that is a note. It was going to be in Blacksburg.
It probably would have been different also, as lousy as it is, had it affected the top of the standings, because this is how conferences are. It is good that this is what Virginia decided, and it doesn't seem like anyone gave them any pushback.
And
sounds great.
Yeah. And I don't know this to be true. I'm guessing this was a player led decision because that's kind of how the first one went. So I don't know, like players kind of make a call and then they kick it up to admin and then admin talks to Virginia. I don't know. But they made the call.
Other news of the week in college football. I think really lousy on-field news at Tennessee. Hendon Hooker did tear an ACL on the play at South Carolina where he lost the ball at the end of that game. And that sucks. I hate it. I can't remember the last time that an on-field injury of a non-concussion, like life-altering variety bugged me in this way.
This is a cruel game.
Yeah, Marcus Lattimore is similar. It's a cruel sport, man. Like, you don't get the fairy tale, and it's really, if anyone deserved it, this is a player who deserved it, and it's a cruel sport. And I just wanted to say that.
Where Tennessee goes from here is going to be very interesting. Like, I'm fascinated with what Tennessee does at the quarterback position next season. It's something we're going to get around to over the summer. And I don't know if they portal or whatever they're going to do, but that is going to be a fascinating space to watch. Just thinking about the after effects of this. And you know what? Joe Milton's fucking cannon is going to be back on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is one thing,
one setting, that one direction
can do, if there's one thing that Joker can do, it is absolutely throw the hell out of the ball.
Did y'all catch the, I think you were in a press box, Richard, so I don't know if you did, but did y'all catch the discovery of Joe Milton? It happens every time. It's been a minute, though, you know, since Hooker's ascended. There was a an entire culture inside of CFB Twitter on Saturday night that was like, who is this guy? And why is he throwing it like that?
He came in the at the end of the Missouri game, and they scored twice at the end of the Missouri game in like the last 2 minutes. And he like, I'm not kidding, he threw one of like the better deep balls I've seen in a long time at the end of that Missouri game. Hey, when it connects, it's really, really nice.
Yeah. No,
it's really, really nice.
Again, it's a cannon. It's a rusty one, and it's hard to position it, but it is a cannon.
And it can do damage. Godfrey, this is, again, a Monday night recording. I want to give you the show early this week if you might be traveling and we got stuff to do ourselves.
I was about to say, we fuck with y'all and we love y'all. I got shit to do this over week, the next couple days.
This week is insane. I don't know why I agreed to going across 3-4 states, whatever I'm doing tomorrow. Like, I need everyone to raise me up. Lord, raise everybody up on this show, but raise those of us chasing nonsense on the internet and in text messages and encrypted text messaging apps while you're also trying to deal with small children, in-laws, etc. Raise us up, Lord.
There's going to be like a 2-hour window tomorrow evening when I'm going to be between roughly Springfield, Massachusetts and my girlfriend's parents in Vermont. And that is harrowing for this part of the year,
buddy,
let me tell you. And it's even worse on Sunday when I'm going to the airport.
Oh, that is some airplane magic for sure. How long does it take to traverse the dead spot?
It's about an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's like Northern Mass to Vermont, like when you get into Vermont, and there's just
true.
It's not even like it pops up. It's like I don't get service. So I walk in the house and it connects to the Wi-Fi.
Hey, true story. I was on a plane to Washington, D.C. from Nashville for the SB Nation NFL meetings. I used to moonlight and do NFL features because there was no version of me on the SB Nation NFL team. And it was June. And I was like, I don't need to buy a Wi-Fi on this plane. I already had a movie downloaded to my device. I landed. Brian Floyd, our managing editor, texted me. He goes, you were on a plane, weren't you? Bob Stoops just retired. And then my phone pinged. And sure enough, I had a source being like, hey, something's about to happen in Oklahoma. And I missed it completely.
So it's funny because both of us have Bob Stoops moments there. Last year, when everything like went to hell with the coaching cycle and like Lincoln, the Sunday when Lincoln like actually left, I will never forget this. I was literally taking off. The plane was ascending. And the last text I got just said Bob Stoops, because you remember Stoops was the interim head coach for the ball game. And so everything was going crazy. And I literally for 2 hours had just Bob. So I'm like, did Bob die? Is Bob coming back? Like, I had no idea what Bob Stoops meant at that point in time, that Sunday after the coaching cycle. Good Lord in heaven.
Speaking of the coaching cycle, Godfrey, quickly here, there are a bunch of FCS jobs that opened up on this Monday, a bunch of them, at least an entire handful at this point. What can you tell me about how the FCS coaching carousel works in relation to FBS and why this of all days is the day that so many FCS coaches are out of job?
You didn't make the playoff. I watched the selection show on Sunday. I thought ESPNU did a great job with it. It's funny, even... it's not just the college football playoff. You know that because like you see how bloated the March Madness selection is. I just think every selection show is just, it's so unnecessarily long. This one was a little shorter. So I give my kudos to ESPNU for that.
By the way, just real quick, the teams that buy through the first round in 1-8 order, South Dakota State, Sac State, Montana State, North Dakota State, number 5 is William and Mary, 6 Samford, 7 UIW, University of Incarnate Word, and 8 Holy Cross. I actually wrote a story about Holy Cross's head coach a couple weeks ago.
Sports
Illustrated. His name's Bob Chesney.
Former Virginia coach Mike London, basically leading William and Mary to like previously unseen heights.
Florida A&M misses out.
Yes. And Montana gets in and gets a home game.
Yeah, they've won nine. Florida A&M has won nine straight after going 0-2 to start the season. They did get absolutely fucking blitzed by Jackson State. I will say that.
Selection, and
Jackson State will go to the Celebration Bowl. Remember, even though they are, I believe, top 10 and definitely undefeated, they go to the Celebration Bowl because
not yet.
It's a lot of money.
Not yet, actually. Celebration Bowl is unsettled.
Yes. And yeah. You're right.
I'm going to catch you on this. We'll get to it in the tasting menu. It's interesting because in FBS, there's kind of a Black Sunday. But
yes,
in FBS, or excuse me, in FBS, it's Black Sunday, but it's Black Monday.
Today was Black Monday. Yes. So, but, and we don't have to mince this. Some of this stuff happened yesterday. You don't have quite the aggressive fourth estate in the FCS. You could fire somebody and it can hold for like 48 hours.
On an NFL Sunday. Well, that's crazy.
But yes, Brent Thompson out at Citadel, Rob Ambrose out at Towson, Blaine Morgan at Lamar. There are more. Chris Vianini was doing a yeoman's work as always, just hitting these as they came out on Monday. The TLDR on this, if you just kind of parachute in, watch the playoffs and enjoy some of the cool traditions in the North Dakota states and Montana schools and all that, that's cool. Watch more FCS if you want to. The thing to take away here is that nothing like links these individual dismissals necessarily. It's just that you can take the conversation we've had about the American or the schools that are going to the American and how everyone's kind of in a gut checkpoint because we're shifting, right? We're shifting schools out of the American into the Big 12, out of Conference USA into the American, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing's happening at FCS. They're losing a handful of teams as Jacksonville State goes, as Sam Houston State goes. By the way, this bracket doesn't have those teams for a reason. When you transfer out like that, like the year Georgia Southern upset Florida, their last year in the FCS, they beat Florida and they were not eligible to play in the playoff. So there's all these kind of hidden rules on this. Playoff eligibility is very much the, did you get to a bowl and have you been in the last 2 years? If not, we are moving on for the top 35 to 40 FCS programs in the country. That's how you should look at this.
A lot of people in the DMV, very surprised about the Towson move away from Rob Ambrose. We'll see where that leads.
That was weird. Fellas, they were in the title game a couple of years ago.
Fellas, should we talk about college football that will probably get less attention this week, but that we should give some credence to because every game deserves the media spotlight from time to time?
Sure.
I don't know if you heard.
I just wanted to get out of the way of this transition. I'm sorry. Go do it.
Ohio State and Michigan are going to play this week. Ohio State and Michigan and Columbus. Small Midwestern schools. It snows a lot. A lot of highways with rest stops that are actually very nice between the two of them. It's the game of the year. It's the game of the week. It's what, our fourth or fifth game of the century, of the 21st century so far?
Yeah, dude, this game fucking delivers, man. Like, it really does always deliver its pregame stakes pretty reliably since Jim Harbaugh got there.
I think Bama LSU are the two right now.
Well, Alabama and LSU has not been holding up its end of the bargain over the last few years.
That's did you watch the game this year between them? It came down to a 2-pointer in overtime?
No. The pregame stakes.
Okay.
The pregame stakes.
Okay.
The postgame stakes, especially with Michigan and Ohio State in previous years, has also left a little bit up to a little bit to be desired. But Ohio State and Michigan, like, you know, no, they don't trip up typically on the way. Like, if you remember, if you remember in 2006, game day started counting that down like 5 weeks before the game started and neither of them lost. Like, it's kind of that every year and it's pretty nice.
This is going to be similar to that Troy Smith Ohio State year with the game. It's interesting because both of these teams, quite possibly, unless someone gets destroyed here, will be in play to see each other again, given the way that things are unfolding right now. It looks like that's at least possible. But I don't think it takes anything away from how badly anyone wants to win this game. If you ask anybody who cares about either of these schools, it's big time. We are going to pick it as our BetUS Pick'em game of the week. And we're also just going to talk about it for a while before we talk about every other game, because it's the big one. We won't lie to you. Picking records this year, Godfrey, you're 11-4. Kudos
really
to you,
good. It's going
to
come down to this. I mean, we're not done after this week, but I have a one game lead and I want to foreshadow what's about to happen.
Yeah.
I'm fading the majority here. So it comes down to this, Richard. I hope you're ready. We have Richard, very clear partisanship in this game.
Yes. Yes.
Richard is 10-5. I'm 7-8. Yeah. Public, you're not doing very well. 4-7-1 in the Twitter vote.
Get it together, Public.
I hinted at I think I said it on Sunday. The way I think this is going to go, I'm definitely taking Michigan at 7.5 points. I think Michigan's going to win this game outright again.
Come back to that. Godfrey, tell me who you're taking.
I'm taking Ohio State. And I'm going to be honest with you, because I never take any of these pick 'em standings seriously, which is why I usually end up successful in them. I don't like Ohio State at 7.5 at all. I think Ohio State can win this game, but I think it is a lot closer than 7.5. However, Richard has tipped his hand for the last couple of weeks. And just to make this interesting and fun, because I don't care if I win or lose, I'll just go ahead and take them. I'll do the 7.5. If they win by 7.5, Richard, they're going to win by 17. Like, if we're in a scenario where they're
eight. I mean, 8 could also be possible.
No. I know what he's saying.
Yes.
I think I know what he's saying. And I actually kind of agree.
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, I agree.
It's because they're passing all over their asses.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to scrape through here covering. Yeah,
right.
If they win, they win.
So that was my incentive to just go ahead and do the 7.5, was because the way Ohio State wins this game, it might only be a 30% chance, but it is just an absolute, I mean, not air raid in the actual traditional offensive terminology, but they are going to bomb them in the passing game. It's something that I don't think Michigan has dealt with yet. However, I think it's more likely, mainly because I listen to the Hurry Up every Sunday and listen to you guys, Michigan grinds them up again. Like, how much did Jim Knowles do in a year? It's amazing how much of a one-game season this has become for Ohio State and not Michigan. Because for the better part of a decade, all of Michigan's identity and all the work they did in recruiting development scheme, assistant coach hires, it was all a one-game season. And now all of a sudden, that's flipped around to Ohio State.
I am going to abstain from the spread here.
Yeah,
I think it's ridiculous.
No, you're fucking not.
Well, I think it's ridiculous.
What kind of scared-to-compete bullshit is this?
To me, it's not cool that the showrunners of Split Zone Duo try to force me to pick the game that I don't want to pick. I want to pick the under here at 57.
You pick this. Because
I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. I don't know who puts together the show run for Split Zone Duo.
Guess what? Anyone listening does, because they know it's not us. They know it's not Richard and I, the two guys who interrupt each other and do their homework on the bus. It ain't us.
I'm going under 57. Richard.
Okay. Weather is not going to be awesome, but it's actually not going to be as bad as you think. For this game, like, it's not gonna be as bad as last year. But it is going to be kind of rainy here. I'm worried about Michigan's quarterback situation. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, you know, obviously Blake Corum banged up, says he's gonna play. Look, man, he might not know he has a right knee. He might not know he has a right leg when he plays that game, but I do think he's going to play it. Yes, it is a bit disconcerting that Michigan has not played basically fuck all. And when they finally played a team, worth a shit in, at least last week against Illinois, it did not go terribly swimmingly until basically the very end, even though they did really get Penn State up out the paint. I'm probably leaning too much into Harbaugh man ball stuff, but I remember how that game went last year. I've seen Ohio State, like the Northwestern game. Northwestern pushed that team around. They did.
Yeah.
I think Don Hayden is a good running back. He's the third string running back and played weirdly really well.
Really well. He was the only effective back for Ohio State last week.
Against Maryland. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I know what Ohio State is. I know what Ohio State is. And I'm not going to sit here and be surprised if Ohio State wins. I promise I'm not hedging. Like, I think Michigan is going to win this game, or at the very least cover.
Okay, but why buy into the man ball when you all season have educated us that structurally, provided we have a completely healthy or even 75% healthy three-headed attack with the wide receiver position, why wouldn't that be a more comfortable option based on what we've seen the last couple of years?
Because I think you can take one receiver away.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you can take two away.
Okay.
And Jackson Smith and Jigman's not going to play in this game.
Right.
Or if he will, you don't. He won't. It's unlikely that he will be the guy you saw put up 70,000 yards in the Rose Bowl last year, because he's not healthy and he hasn't been healthy all season.
Right.
Yeah. He literally has not been healthy all season. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the truth. And the two of them together, I think, would create a war machine. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to have them both.
What if they do?
Well, if they do and he's close to 100%, this is a very different proposition. But like Alex said, I don't think he's going to be close to 100%. And at the end of the day, like, if it goes by game script and the game script Michigan wants, Michigan can do what they did last year. Michigan can push this team around again on offense.
I've already heard, I already kind of know the answer to this, but I think most of the nation watched those two games last weekend in this game's context. I just didn't feel that worried about either outcome relative to Ohio State or Michigan. Is that fair?
Well, I went to Maryland, so of course I wasn't worried for Ohio State. I knew how the game was going to end. But I think that if I have some concerns about both of these offenses, and it's why I'm waffling on a spread pick. That, I mean, sure, I'll say Michigan because they're getting a lot of points.
We have run issues and we have pass issues.
I'm not sure. That's the simple version.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Michigan's issues won't go a little deeper because they're not only corner, but Donovan Edwards, the medicals are not certain. I'm also not sure that Ohio State at all is going to be able to run the ball. They might be able to. Even when Dallin Hayden was going pretty well, it was more a good than a dominant running performance against Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Alex, on that point, I will say if they were smart, this is a CJ Stroud zone read 12 attempts and they pull that rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
And they plus one in the run game and they're able to get the job done.
They play action to open up a run game, basically. That's kind of not even play action.
I mean, literally run.
No. I understand what you're saying. I'm saying like, the more you move Stroud, the more that would actually open up some lanes to actually run the ball. It might be your only shot. It's kind of funny. Same philosophical attempt.
One play in the Maryland game that I keep thinking about that makes me worried for Ohio State's offense. It didn't matter in this game, but it came close. It was 4th and 1 at the Maryland 42, about 3 minutes left. Ohio State trying to ice the game, which they ultimately did, but they didn't do it on this drive. Ryan Day goes for it instead of punting or trying a long field goal. And instead of just lining up and trying to get 1 yard, even with Dallin Hayden, when you have Ohio State's line and you're playing Maryland, they threw for it. And CJ bounced one to Marvin Harrison Jr. Ohio State didn't think that they could line up and get a yard against the Maryland Terrapins at the end of that game. And that's understandable because power running has been an issue for them all year. But against going into a Michigan game, that gives me pause. Obviously, people are going to wonder about JJ McCarthy, and that'll be the big thing. His worst game of the season was probably last week against a really good Illinois defense. He was okay against a really good Iowa defense. Not awesome, but fine. But are we sure Michigan's going to run the ball the way they did last year in this game? Richard sounds like he's sure about it. What if both of their running backs aren't healthy?
I don't think they're really going to pass the ball much.
No. That's why I'm saying under here, but also just in general, the flow of the game. Like, I think this thing is going to be a slog. Also, it's going to be cold. Not that that's especially new to either of these teams.
It's not going to be frigid though. It's going to be chilly, but not frigid. It's in Columbus, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in Columbus. It's going to be chilly, not frigid.
Which is going to be status quo for these guys.
And by the way, just in terms of the way these teams match up, Michigan has seen very little man coverage this season.
I wonder why.
Right. There's a talent disadvantage for pretty much every team Michigan plays. Most teams do not have DBs who can run with Michigan's receivers. You're about to meet one that can and that does have those players. Illinois tried it and did pretty well. Just playing one safety back there and just having guys run with guys. Ohio State's going to do that again. So if I'm right about Michigan's running game, then JJ McCarthy is going to have, you know, a game of your life type game. And that's not impossible, but I am not like investing in that. I just think it's going to be a slog. Like, you could tell me this thing could be like 21-17 and I would not bat an eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an ugly Michigan win, or it's going to be a big wide Ohio State blowout ish. And I am talking myself out of my pick. The longer this segment goes, Alex, get me out of here.
Richard, if I were to wager on this outcome, where would I do so?
Well, Alex, Must you ask rhetorical questions? It's BetUS.com. That's BetUS.com. Join now. Use promo code SCD. Get 200% in bonuses with promo code SCD at BetUS.com. Again, join up. Use the promo code SCD. Up to 200% in bonuses with the promo code on BetUS.com.
Fantastic. Also, both of these schools, while we're doing some podcast business, are home field apparel schools. This is a grand week if you are in the home field business as we are. It is 20% off the entire site at homefieldapparel.com this week. If you use the code Black Friday, we have no shirt of the week, no school of the week shirt this week. There's no need. The entire freaking website at homefieldapparel.com is 20% off with the code Black Friday. Items are obviously subject to inventory constraints because you are a voracious people and you buy a lot of home field stuff. They are doing their absolute best, but you should go and check it out as soon as you can. I have had my eye on a particular piece of home field clothing, I'll confess, for a few weeks now. And, you know, sometimes I ask for freebies, but I think sometimes I like to support our friends' work there. And so I will personally be putting in an order for a Big Sky conference hoodie that I have been eyeing up for several weeks. But I sometimes, you know, people in my life tell me you wear a little bit too much college sports apparel that all looks like it was designed by the same company. And I say, well, you know, yeah. I occasionally add new things to my inventory even now.
That was Alex's version of being combative.
The big sky is going to be next up for me. Gift cards are available as well. Homefieldapparel.com. The code is Black Friday, 20% off. Also, there's going to be some Cyber Monday stuff on the 28th and 29th of this month. Get there soon, though. Richard, Steven, shall we taste it?
Let's go.
Taste it.
Okay. And in fact, so we're doing a somewhat shorter episode this week. We'll put the whole podcast business block, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Do go to NokianTires.com/SCD. My Nokian Tires got me home for Thanksgiving. Yours will get you wherever you've got to go. Reliability and quality is what Nokian Tires does. They've been great partners of ours. And we've got 500 some entries on our road trip map. One for one, if you put an entry in, you will get entered in a monthly raffle that Nokian does for a lovely set, an effective set of tires.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's taste it. I think Richard is probably watching some football in the background.
That's right.
Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, but 7 p.m. Central Time. That's God's time on ESPNU. Bowling Green at Ohio. What if I were to tell you, Stephen Godfrey,
that
once Scott Loeffler could win a MAC division if he wins this game in Athens? Would you believe that?
This is a bowl contenders showdown for MAC championship implication. Oh, I'm going to throw up a little bit. Bully for Ohio. Yeah. We've already talked about them, Alex. This, if you had to pull a conference game on Thanksgiving week out and say this is impactful, this might have been the last game you picked on Labor Day weekend. Like, if I said, here's the last 2 weeks of the MAC.
Don't think it's just Labor Day weekend.
All off season. If I said these are the last 2 weeks of the MAC, this is the schedule. Pick a game where both teams are vying for a division and look hot going into the championship game. You would have never picked this game ever. Say, Levy?
No. I want to give some credit here. And by the way, Bowling Green has their 6 wins, Steven. I think you just can't. You can't believe it because you don't like Brian Van Gorder and Scott Loeffler. I know, but I want to emphasize. Did he leave?
Yeah,
wow, I should know this, but I'm going to leave it in. Bowling Green, you seem to have a thing about Bowling Green, about Scott Loeffler, which I understand.
Nothing personal. It's just that everyone like doesn't like I it's not me.
They have pulled something off this year, which is very impressive, which is that their defense and their special teams are both ranked 116th or worse in SP Plus, and they lost to an FCS team, Eastern Kentucky, and yet they not only have bowl eligibility, but have it with a game to spare and could be in their conference championship game. I don't think that all of those things have ever been true at the same time with any season in college football history. We love you, Falcons. Even Godfrey loves you, Bowling Green. Man. Congrats on a seriously, legitimately unique college football season. Thursday at 6 on ESPN.
Okay.
The Egg Bowl.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay. So it's actually a fairly classic setup because there's no national impact whatsoever. There's plenty of off-field narrative. And the only thing that's actually weird and out of the ordinary for the Egg.
Are, Was there something going on off the field?
The hating ass is way down. Way down. There's some other shit we're going to talk about. SplitZoneDuo.com. Become a patron today. If you don't know why, well, I don't know why the hell you listen to a college football podcast. The acrimony between the teams is like, I would say, simmered all the way down to like normal-ish. As far as the football on the field, I do think you, I just got done saying you didn't have to take last week into account for maybe some letdown look ahead nonsense for Ohio State and Michigan. Some telling shit happened to Ole Miss at Arkansas, y'all. They're like,
thank you, Richard. Richard was putting skepticism on me when I was like, obviously Lane Kiffin's head is somewhere in the state of Alabama.
Fucking atrocious on defense.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Look. I did. That was a misread. That was a misread by me.
Just a bit.
I did not
see the safety come down off the roof of the defense
bro.
And I did just throw it into the coverage there, thinking my receiver was going
to
be there. That's a misread.
I had to rewatch this game for reasons I cannot explain on a podcast this morning, not the whole of the game, but the fourth quarter. And oh my God, this is the kind of defense historically that Mike Leach gets to do work against. I don't think it's unfair to bring up the weird Leach rivalry game narrative, which is that he eats the curb every time that one of his teams plays a rival. Ask Washington. I don't know if it's a sameness. I don't know if it's a year long film buildup. You know how we talk about triple teams and it's like, well, they'll put something on film, you know, a play 20 times so that they can flip it in like one game. Maybe it's the reverse for Leach's air raid. I don't know. But if they were to beat Ole Miss in this game, regardless of other things, splitzoneduo.com, that would be monumental for Leach, even more so than Mississippi State, who I think desperately now. I mean, look, your AD's gone, bro. It's a short list of people who are going to put up with your bullshit next year.
Refresh me real quick. Is this game is always on Thanksgiving, or has it like moved
back and forth?
They fucked around with it.
Back and forth. When I moved to Mississippi, it had just started on Thanksgiving night on ESPN, basically because they were the only in-state rivalry dumb enough to agree to it. That's the truth.
Well,
that's
another one. There's another one coming back soon.
And then Backyard Brawl did it for a couple years, which was great. I've had so many crappy gas station Thanksgivings because of this stupid game. So
this is like one of those battlefield stories where, let's say that college football is defending a site and the NFL is the aggressing army, and the site that college football is defending is Thanksgiving night as a TV property. They've kind of left the Egg Bowl out to defend an entire flank by themselves. Like, well, the Egg Bowl is here to guard the entire night for college football, and folks, they don't have the guns.
All they
got to
do is put the Cowboys in prime time.
They are waiting to, they're waiting for Texas and Texas A&M to come back to their ancestral home here. They're coming back to help us out here soon. Remember, the obviously college football has lost Thanksgiving because now the NFL goes three wide. College football is also going to lose Black Friday starting next year when the NFL starts its Black Friday game, which will be a good game. The college football, but you think Amazon's going to put a shit game on the day that you sit on Amazon all day?
They've been
doing
it every Thursday night for a fucking year.
Good point.
But college football has also lost this year because I'm going to be watching soccer.
That's a whole other podcast.
Not enough time. Friday at 11.
Fucking un-American.
Friday at 11 on ABC.
Wow.
It's very American. They're playing on top of a bunch of dead people who were enslaved to build the thing. That's very American.
Jesus Christ. You are going to fucking juke me on this. Unbelievable.
Don't
you cannot even see
your six
the shit
open.
Eating.
Don't leave
he
your
is,
six
he
open.
He has the most shit eating grin. On his face right now.
Friday.
I was like, surely he won't leave that open.
Friday at 11 on ABC. All right, let's move it back to an unproblematic sport with no more issues whatsoever. College football.
Friday at
11 on ABC. Tulane at Cincinnati. This is the game of Black Friday, certainly. Cincinnati is a slim favorite, like inside a field goal. I think I prefer Tulane in this game straight up. The problem is that it's at Nippert, and nobody really wins at Nippert. So I reserve the right to be wrong
very
about that.
Very loud stadium. But I've said this for years. It's like 30 odd thousand, very loud, dug into the ground. Tough environment.
I think that Cincinnati is going to have a Tajay Spears problem in this game. I think Tulane can run against them. And also, frankly, Cincinnati's offense isn't, well, that's a big statement. They're not that good on
Richard,
offense.
What's our one sentence analysis all season on Cincinnati's offense?
It's there.
No. Who's playing quarterback?
Oh God. Fuck.
Exactly. That's my point. Let's move on. I would love to have stand Cincinnati all season and been the annoying guy like I was last year. And I watched the Arkansas game and I went, holy shit, that's a drop off at the most important position. Never mind, they're 8-4.
And Arizona State Territorial Cup. This is not usually on Friday, right? Am I high?
No, it is not. It is not a typical Friday game.
It has been in the past.
I don't think it's a typical Friday. I think it
fucking young people.
Someone will tell me if I'm wrong about that one, and that's the kind of thing that I might misremember. One thing about this, I saw that someone tweeted this out today on Monday as we record. This is one of the games that Fox is not even sending a crew to. They're going to have people remotely call this game. Like that's rivalry weekend.
That's fair.
It's rivalry weekend, guys. Like, put in a little effort. Put in a little effort.
It's not a bad place to go on Thanksgiving. I mean, like, it's a pretty town. Go get you a Sonoran.
It's in Tucson. Yeah. It's not in Phoenix.
I know. Tucson's very pretty. Like, go get you a Sonoran hot dog. There's a bunch of resorts and spas out in Tucson. Like, not that bad.
Send people to your game. Like, you're paying millions of dollars to air these games.
The problem is they're paying billions to send them to the Middle East. That's actually part of the problem.
Separate teams. I don't think that this college football crew is going to be out in Qatar this week. I don't know.
It's
going to be
Qatar.
A lot of offense.
It's Qatar.
This is a discussion that's being had a lot right now, and I cannot get into it. I was saying Qatar until today, and someone told me that I should actually be called Qatar.
Oh wait, I was just doing that thing where I sneak a joke in while you're trying to keep us on task.
He definitely doesn't give a shit.
I watched the game today.
2:30.
Why am I catching
Friday
strays that I'm not a Renaissance
on ABC,
man?
NC State.
It sucks.
UNC.
I might be Welsh. I don't even know.
Does not have the thing to play for anymore. Yeah, no. Unfortunately.
Hey, when are we going to talk about NC State versus preseason expectations? They did it again, y'all.
No, I'm not gonna hold it against them because Lear got hurt. That's fine. Lear got hurt.
Really? We're just giving him a pass,
dude. I mean, have you watched them on offense?
I just know some very lovely hillbillies over in Raleigh that are ready to commit football seppuku again because NC State was hyped up going into this season, and then again it happened.
If you're an NC State fan, you didn't expect disappointment. That's on you.
Yeah, you've probably stabbed yourself in the stomach before too.
I'm willing to. I'll give you a pass because you lost Devin Leary. UNC is gonna do the thing where they score a million points probably here. I don't really know why
NC
they
State
didn't
defends
score a million points.
They defend.
I don't really know why they didn't score a million points on Georgia Tech. I'm not interested. I'm not gonna rewatch that game.
It was ugly.
I think that they should score a million points here and just do the thing.
North Carolina, not NC State. Does still have a thing to play for. If they win this game, I would say that their New Year's Six chances are well intact. Whereas if you lose this and lose to Clemson, then you're playing in, I don't know, the Pinstripe Bowl or something that isn't as cool. So they have something to play for still. Friday at 3 on the Big Ten Network. Nebraska at Iowa. Folks, Iowa's going to win this game and the Big Ten West. And to some extent, I'm going to eat shit on this because Lord knows I've talked about it enough. Good job. Seriously. Good job. It doesn't change that. I think it's kind of an administrative mess. Yeah. And Gary Barta is one of the worst administrators in all of college athletics. And there's all these problems. Absolutely. But guess what? They're going to win their division. And hey, I have to admit it. They're going to win their division. And even if it's the Big Ten West this year, and I'm not saying that to drip with condescension, most teams don't win their divisions, even teams in bad ones. So congrats to Iowa preemptively because they are not going to lose this game. I think there is no chance that they lose this game.
Yeah. Sorry. I was drinking a beer.
We're good. I'll bring us back.
No, we're not just keep going.
Yeah. honestly,
Friday at 6:30, Florida State. I legitimately love that they're playing this game on Friday night. I think it's really cool. I think that this could be a like a tentpole for this rivalry on a cool night if college football wants to try to bite back on Black Friday. However, the State University of Florida, based in Gainesville, is not so thrilled that this game is being played on Friday night, from what I'm told. But yeah, so it'll probably be a one-off thing.
Yeah, and it'll y'all be are low-key cranky ass fan base.
I like it. I think it's a fun thing.
I think it's great. I think it's great. Again, like having gone to the school where they're like, yeah, we'll play whatever you want us to. Oh, you want to see us eat glass? We'll do it. That's the Mississippi mindset. Like, what major inconvenience are you going to have on a holiday weekend if it's on Friday night versus Saturday night? You're all off work anyway.
They really, really, and I mean, it's probably an SEC mandate, but the really, really we want to play on Saturday, college football is played on Saturday thing is like deeply, deeply.
Like it's a SEC holiday rooted, weekend. You can get time off from Beefo Brady's in fucking Tampa. I know.
You're preaching to the choir here. Saturday at 11, ESPN2, West Virginia, Oklahoma State.
Godfrey, is this one an anxiety bowl? Is there enough angst being felt here on all sides?
Oklahoma State.
Don't love that this isn't Bedlam, by the way.
Oklahoma State. Right, yeah, that real dumb. So
Oklahoma State, have you noticed they've fallen basically over the cliff in the last month and a half?
I mean, he's going to fire him? Dude,
no, they're not going to fire him.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I just mean,
are they going to go into next year feeling
Daily Wire Pat Fitzgerald is not in any trouble of getting, is not in any risk of getting fired. Sorry. No. Anxiety Bowl, no, I have to push back. Anxiety Bowl is defined as head coaching, hot seat implications for both head coaches involved in a game. And no, that they're not firing his ass.
Okay. And also, Godfrey, I want to take you for a prediction in real time that we didn't plan here. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the Coach Carousel on the Coach Gossip Show on Patreon this week. That'll be most of it. Is there an outcome in this game that Neil Brown could achieve that you think might, one way or another, change things for him?
42-0. Like, yeah. If they do the Kansas State thing, how's that? And even then, it increases his chances of not getting fired by like a single digit percentage.
Okay. So Neil Brown, have a good time in Stillwater this weekend. Saturday at 11 on ESPNU. Coastal Carolina at James Madison. Coastal, the best team in the Sun Belt, are 14-point underdogs in this game. And I sort of get it because Grayson McCall is out. And also, divisionally, they have nothing to play for. They're in the Sun Belt championship game. The thing is, though, they do have something to play for because UCF, which might win the American, has three losses. We don't know what the playoff ranking is going to look like this Tuesday night as we record this, but I think the window is there if Coastal wins two in a row to be the Sun Belt's first ever New Year's Six rep. That seems intuitive to me as I look at this.
That would be cool. I don't know if it's possible, but
I think it is conceivable. I'm not going out there to likely, because if Tulane or Cincinnati were to win the AAC, that would be that. And I think even with three losses, maybe UCF. I don't know what the committee is going to say this week, but we'll see. Also for JMU, it's the end because they can't play a postseason game this year. This has been an incredible, incredible FBS debut for that team. I think that you have to feel as good about them now as you did about App a few years ago, and that's worked out pretty well for them. Great year for JMU. It ends here and could end on a high note. Saturday, 11, CBS Sports Network. Western Kentucky at FAU. This one's on here because Western Kentucky, not totally dead in Conference USA.
No.
Willie Taggart probably should win this game for your own sake.
Narrative rundown here. Western Kentucky wants this for relevance. They want this for pride. I was talking with some Western Kentucky people who are starting. It's dawning on them who they're stuck with in Conference USA for a little while. They are not particularly jazzed about the future, so they want to win as many as they can this year. I do think Tyson Helton's trying to get out of there. We'll talk more about that on future coach shows on splitzoneduo.com. FAU needs this. Willie Taggart needs this. How much Saturday, FAU thinks they need it versus how much Willie Taggart can or can't deliver it might seal his fate. Continue.
Good to know. 11 ESPN plus Old Dominion at South Alabama. South out needs a win and some help from Arkansas State against Troy. Really good defense for the Jaguars. They get off the field on third downs. They tackle well. They are the most penalized team in college football. So if you like that, you might enjoy this game. They have actually won four different times this year in which they have 100 plus penalty yards. Great Xbox achievement. I love that for them.
Still could have beaten UCLA.
Could have. Old Dominion, by the way, the worst possession team in FBS this year. They hold the ball for all of 24 minutes a game. It's sometimes, like in the case of Tennessee, that's because you score fast. Old Dominion, not the case. Do not think there are going to be that many points in this game for them. 11, ESPN, Georgia Tech at UGA.
The only thing we wrote in the
show. Winning this game.
The only thing we wrote. The only thing in our show notes for this game is it was me and I wrote going to be rough and I misspelled rough. And that is the game. Just move on.
Yeah, going to be rough. I have nothing to say other than that.
Look, Georgia Tech remains. Jeff Sims is not with the program anymore. He hasn't played in a few weeks. Georgia Tech is now. Nope.
We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to.
Nope.
It's our show.
The thing you will. The thing you have to say is that they have made a lot more this season than they ever should have, based on where they were when Jeff Collins was fired. It's just this is a tough matchup. Not going to be fun. One on ESPN Plus. Rice at North Texas. North Texas. Godfrey. Fun place here because. Yep. You could very plausibly tell me conference title game. You could also very plausibly tell me this guy is fired in like 5 days.
Correct. Yeah. Alex, you're spoiling the shows, but yes, absolutely. I think that's a succinct way of putting it. Yes. We have, look, I love telling people what I don't know. And based on everything I've heard and everything I know, we don't know what's going to happen in North Texas.
Saturday at 1, NBC, Bayou Classic, Grambling against Southern. They've been doing this one since the 1930s, oftentimes when both teams have been good. This time, only one of them is good, and not even that good. Southern is 6-4, but there are big stakes for Southern. Big ones, big ones. If they win this game, they will get Jackson State in the SWAC title game. Yes, there is something of a Big Ten West vibe there, because Jackson State has already beaten them 35-0 and may do so again, but they will be in a conference title game with a chance to go to the Celebration Bowl if they can win this game. The other side of that will be North Carolina Central out of the MEAC. They gave Norfolk State a very bad time last weekend to clinch their own spot. Probably going to be Jackson who sees them in the Celebration Bowl, but we'll see. Saturday at 2 on SEC Network, Louisville at Kentucky. Here's a question. If Louisville were to win this game, is it possible that Louisville fans would end this year feeling better about Scott Satterfield than Kentucky fans about Mark Stoops? Just asking questions.
This is the best prompt that you've given. This is no, I want to actually applaud Alex, who is the point guard of the show. This is the most creative and funniest and smartest setup to a bit. The answer is no, but I love your brain on this one. This should actually be the case. That's why I love the question, Alex. But Louisville still feels just entirely uncomfortable about the long term with Scott Satterfield. If they can carry through on the recruiting bump they had before the season started, you're looking at maybe a period of calmness for a year or two more, and maybe he kind of wins them over ultimately. I just still have a hard time not thinking of Louisville again, and Satterfield specifically behind the eight ball as we go into 23. Whereas Stoops, it is what I mean, like the dude's staying like for a minute. You see that buyout? That's a lot. That's a lot.
Fair. 2 on ESPN Plus, Troy at Arkansas State. Mentioned this one, Troy win and into the Sun Belt Championship. Regular season game for Carlton Marshall. Great linebacker for them. Has had a historic career. And Arkansas State closing out a tough year. Saturday, 2:30 on ABC or ESPN, depending on where you are. Wisconsin at Minnesota. Steven, I believe you've got something to tell us. And Richard, maybe you've got something to tell us.
I had a little agita. I had a little agita, Richard, about we're prepping a gossip show that we're going to record on Monday night, as you hear this probably on Tuesday. And just in case of the big P5 openings, I think the one that could close first, I think, as you know, and if you listen and you're a patron, we have I Think, I Feel, and I Know. I strongly feel that Wisconsin might be done first. And Richard, why do we think it's going to be done first? Because we think it's probably going to be the interim.
Wisconsin has officially posted its job listing for head football coach. You will note that prerequisites include preferred head coaching experience at the FBS level.
Yep.
You will note who now has that.
Jim Leonard is
fired. Paul Christ.
Jim Leonard is the pick here. I think if I had to bet, if we were playing some sort of game or fantasy league,
Jim Leonard, no way.
Wow.
That's so surprising.
He's getting better at his shtick. One thing to point out, this is the kind of stuff that we talk about normally on the patron shows and on the coach season shows. Wisconsin did contact and have a let's just call it a cup of coffee with Baylor's Dave Aranda. If that strikes you, if you're freaking out as a Baylor fan, don't. Dave Aranda, I don't know why, really likes Waco, Texas. He also has a very, very good relationship with Jim Leonard. If you don't know, figure out how. I think this is going to be.
He taught Jim Leonard's defense.
Correct. You said the quiet part out loud.
Well, no, I think there's. I actually do think there's a lot of people that don't realize that.
I know. I encourage people to dig in. Yeah.
It's been a while since Dave's been there.
It has been a while since Dave has been there. I'll give him that. The situation at Wisconsin was always recruiting, and that the issues that the program had, and I'm seeing now that they're AD and they're kind of framing it out like, oh, they were frustrated about what was happening on the field. I have a really, really hard time believing that had the incidents that were documented, I want to say it was an athletic reporter, it may have been in the local Wisconsin media, about them fumbling official visits and not having sort of...
Jesse Temple of The Athletic, reporting, yeah.
That was the one that kind of got carried through in all the conversations that most of us had about the Wisconsin opening. They were very comfortable and very confident firing Paul Chris basically at the very end of September, I believe, and giving Jim as many data points as he could to amass. There was a second's worth of concern about how they looked against Iowa, but ultimately the decision-making people in the process, they feel confident when Wisconsin's offense struggles, they're not going to put that on the feet. And this is smart of an interim head coach who's a defensive coordinator. The questions moving forward. Yes, Richard.
Well, I was just going to say, I do think they are going to be a heavy, heavy transfer portal team in the quarterback market. Heavy.
Yes. I think the questions I'm really curious who their next OC is. What does that offensive staff look like?
Godfrey, this is your Nokian road trip of the week because you are a glutton for Colt.
I've always wanted to go to one of those Minnesota games that matters in the open air. Like, I don't necessarily need to eat the dilly bar, but like, I just kind of wanted to go out and experience that the same way that, look, we did this last week. Alex, you and I both picked Brawl of the Wild and it was like -5 and game day was hyping all that up. It's basically the same concept. It's because I live in a relatively warm weather area of the United States and, you know, swirling winds and a bunch of snow and shit, that's fun when you get to fly away from it. When you live in it 6 months a year, it's not fun. But to me, it's, you know, it's unique.
Quite fair. Saturday, 2:30 on CBS, the Iron Bowl.
Iron Bowl.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a cool head coaching matchup. You've got, on one hand, a legend of college football in the state of Alabama who is beloved in the community there. On the other side, you've got Nick Saban. I think it's going to be really good game. No, I don't think it'll be that good a game. I think that Auburn is outgunned here. I was very impressed, I will say, by Auburn beating Western Kentucky as easily as they did, because I think WKU is pretty good. Not the most exciting Iron Bowl that we've ever had.
I wonder if Auburn could try to pull a rabbit out of their hat by sort of doing the same thing it did last year, basically. The answer is probably no, because, you know, this has been the interim arc. Remember, by the way, Auburn's one win away from bowl eligibility, by the way. This has been the, like, happiest, best interim arc probably since Ed Orgeron. Definitely since Ed Orgeron, but maybe Ed Orgeron aside.
He went 6-2, man.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, he's an outlier. Put Ed O aside on this one. Put Ed O cookies at USC also aside. So in the non-Ed Orgeron interim head coach category, recently, what's been a better run? Clay Helton?
Clay Helton's was good, believe it or not. But this has been good. This has been good. And especially just like spiritually, like we know a lot of Auburn people. Auburn people were not in a good place since the end of men's basketball season. They were just not in a good place. And there's happiness there now. So very well done by Auburn and by Carnelius.
Godfrey, I know. Godfrey, but seriously, I'm trying to think here. Non-Ed O category, is Clay Helton your go? Like what?
Yeah. Sorry. As we're discussing this, things are happening in real time. Keep it in the show. Just keep it in the show. But yes, it is. Look, I lean on y'all to keep it in the football world on a week like this. I lean on y'all. Interim run, ultimately, I think it's yet to happen, Richard. I really do, because this is going to be the norm moving forward.
Mm. We'll see. Saturday, 2:30.
Somebody's going to take over and just like go 6-0 one year and completely surprise us. What about Dabo, by the way?
Dabo. ESPNU. Oh, yeah. Memphis at SMU. I've been tracking this one all season, folks. Ryan Silverfield, my man, you got to show something here.
You're all over this one, baby.
And I think I've been accurate to be all over this one.
We are fixating here, Alex. I want you to walk me through the fixation.
Fixation? Actually, here's why, and it's nothing personal. In fact, I've only talked to Ryan Silverfield once, and I really found him to be very pleasant. I enjoyed talking with him. All fine. All fine there. The thing about this that piques my interest and that has all year, and the reason you've heard me talk about it 17 times on SCD, is that Memphis is a Shriver athletic department that has been very public about wanting to increase its lot in life in college sports, was very publicly sad when they didn't make it to the Big 12. They have taken huge swings in men's basketball, for instance, and recruiting. I think that if they go 6-6 with their former offensive line coach in year three, that does not comport with what we know about their institutional desires. So Godfrey's done some reporting on this. I'm just doing informed speculation based on what I know about Memphis. You got to show something here, Ryan Silverfield. Saturday at 2:30, ABC, Oregon at Oregon State. Game used to be called the Civil War. They changed that name in 2020. Now it is just called Oregon at Oregon State. It could be good. I'm pretty into it personally.
So yeah, Civil War, man.
Right. Civil War. I don't think anybody asked for that change.
Portland maybe.
Hey right. man.
Like there's still a Captain America movie called that too. Like I don't know anybody who asked for that one. I think it would have been fine if they would have kept it personally.
It's spiritually a Civil War on this podcast.
Remember when the MCU was good?
It's
a cocktail party,
it's a Red River Shootout, it's Civil War.
Certainly the cocktail party. It's certainly the shootout. Yeah. Okay. We're veering into drunk uncle territory.
The nature of the game itself, it is in Corvallis. That obviously helps Oregon State's odds. They have won this game a couple of times in recent years. If Bo Nix is hurt,
The COVID win was huge and everyone forgets it.
It was a big win. If Bo Nix is hurt, there could be another one of those here.
Yes.
If not, I don't know that Oregon State will get more than like two or three stops in the course of the whole game.
I want to believe, Alex, I can't do it. Even goofing around as a bit on a podcast, I can't do it. I want to believe in the Beavers, in my beloved Beaver, but it's not going to happen. I also really want to put a pin in looking at Oregon down the stretch this year as we get into the offseason, we start doing examinations. Really impressed with Lanning. Like, really impressed.
It's been a good year. Elsewhere, 2:30, Big Ten Network. Old Oaken bucket time, Purdue at Indiana. I think the mood around Indiana has to be a bit better this week because they were looking like they were going to end this year with no Big Ten victories, one, because they had beaten Illinois. Nice win in East Lansing. All the deficiencies from Michigan State have been documented, but it was a fun game. They scored a lot. Hey, great. I think a lot of people root for Tom Allen to succeed because he seems like a nice guy.
Hey, great.
No, I mean that. Like, it would have been kind of a downer to end the year on, what, an 8-game losing streak or whatever it would have been.
Hey, great. What are you doing here, Tom? Get your head out of your ass. You want to avoid the hot seat, win this game. That's it.
Saturday, 2:30 on Stadium. UTEP, UTSA.
Go to a bowl, Dana. Go to a bowl. Win this game, go to a bowl. It's not going to happen.
Is this a rivalry?
No. You know how far San Antonio is from El Paso?
I'm aware of that, but the reason that I asked is that UTSA needs to... UTSA is a new program. They kind of have to like tag in rivals, and UTEP's another four-letter abbreviation school, and I don't know. It would make some sense.
But they're not going to play each other after this year.
Correct.
Saturday at 3 on Fox, Iowa State and TCU. I do not think the honeymoon is going to be over here. Their punishment must be more severe at the hands of Kansas State next week.
But Richard, is it going to be weird? Because they've made everything else weird. Could we just be normal for a week?
No, like I don't think this Iowa State team is cut out to do that. Like I think Iowa State's defense is, yeah, man, it's good and that's sweet and swell and fun. But like I'm pretty sure, as long as Quentin Johnson plays in this game, he's going to go insane and they're going to do what they're supposed to do there. I'm just really not terribly worried. Saturday at 3 on FS1.
Iowa State dialogue offseason. Go ahead.
Okay.
Penn State. Michigan State at Penn State for the trophy.
I'm sorry, I was just saying,
at all.
Clear the decks for Alex to get his piece off about Penn State, because I think this week's is a good one.
Well, I was just going to say, Michigan State at Penn State, no trophy at all. There is no hardware on the line in this game at all. It does not have a name. It is just a nice made-up rivalry because neither of these teams have any natural rivals left on the schedule.
If you listen to the show every week, Alex Kirshner does this low-key, nice guy, fuck you trolling of Penn State, and it's so, so subtle, and I love it. It's my favorite unspoken thing, which I have now spoken about. Alex, take it home into the regular season. Tell me about Penn State.
I'm taking the subtlety out of it this week. I think it's actually just kind of from a remove, I'll say this. I love Sean Clifford's season this year because everyone was right. Everyone was right. Those of us who were like, this dude's not cut out to beat Ohio State and Michigan, we were right. Those people who were like, this guy's their best option, they can win a lot of games with him, they were right too. It's a perfect choose your own adventure season. They're about to go 10-2, assuming they win this game. It's a very good year. They're going to go to a New Year's Six Bowl. And yet everyone can argue about this guy forever. It's a perfect college football quarterback season.
The young man who returned that kickoff on Saturday against Rutgers, I am watching that space. I am earnestly watching that space for the future of Penn State. Saturday at 6:30 on ABC, Notre Dame at USC. You'll remember they alternate this game because this game because USC got cold one year. They play it in Notre Dame in October. They play it in Southern California on Thanksgiving weekend. This is my road trip because I am actually going to Vermont, but would much spiritually
rather be in
Southern California.
I said this on the Patreon show, but just think about how beautiful it was to look on the field last week at the Rose Bowl for these two teams, these two helmets, these two uniforms, and then think in a couple of years, the winner of this gets to go to Indianapolis.
Oh, breaking news from friend of the show, Matt Brown. Per multiple sources familiar with the situation, EA Sports is expected to announce tomorrow morning that the EA Sports college football video game will be delayed until 2024. Oh, that's tough.
We'll keep our eyes open for that. For me, I'm okay waiting another year if it means that it's a really good game. Personally speaking, that's how I feel about that. I expect that the reason it's delayed is that they are working on stuff. But we'll see what happens when it comes. One thing that I would not abide is that game coming back and being bad. So if it is a delay for a better game, I feel a lot better about that personally.
One thing I will abide is the fact that by 2024, hopefully I'll be able to buy a fucking PS5.
You can get one right now. If you want a PS5, I can get you one in like a week.
You got them things in the trunk?
Hey, man, I know people.
Richard,
I'm the most Southern person on this show. I can find things.
On Notre Dame and USC, is there any reason to worry that USC could meet the fate of another highly ranked team with somewhat iffy lines? Clemson?
No, because USC does not have the receivers Clemson does.
Okay, it's true. Jordan Addison is a little different than what Clemson has at wide receiver this year. That's fine. I am not going to discount Notre Dame in this game, but it's a big opportunity, of course.
Do you know the spread offhand? I can't really.
I do not know it offhand, no. But easy to find out. Saturday at 6:30 on ACC Network, Syracuse at Boston College. Ooh.
They're going to be fine. I think Syracuse is going to be fine in this game.
Godfrey?
They need to win this game. They need to win this game.
Saturday at 6:30 on ACC Network, Tennessee at Vanderbilt. Yes, it will be the Joe Milton experience in this game against a resurgent Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a great time on Saturday, at the behest of the Fighting Florida Gators. They took advantage of opportunities. They won that game, I think, differently than they did Kentucky. I think Kentucky was a legitimate battle back, all that kind of stuff. On Saturday, Vanderbilt got handed a football game and they took it. And to their credit, they took it.
Yeah.
And that's part of building belief, building program buy-in, all that kind of stuff for Clark Lee and company. I mean, it'd be a real big belief to win this game and go to a bowl and pull a bowl out of your hat out of literally nowhere. Not entirely sure that's going to happen. Tennessee, I am curious about if Tennessee just packs it in, man.
Packs it in, loses? Q-word.
We don't use a Q word on this show, but it has all gone to hell in a handbasket for Tennessee really quickly.
Yeah, the alternative, though, is that you find out exactly how plug and play this Heupel offense is and that Joe Milton throws for like 400 yards. That's possible as well. Could be a very uplifting night for the Vols. You could see this going either way. 7 on Fox, Kansas at Kansas State, but pitch. Here's a pitch this time. But both teams are good.
What if I don't buy that pitch?
Chris Kleiman's had a really quiet season by standards of carousel and his name showing up. Just throwing that out there.
What if I don't buy that pitch?
Which part?
On what score do you not? I mean, Kansas, I assume, because I know you think Kansas State's good. I mean, Kansas won 6 games. Cool. That's awesome.
Kansas can't stop a fucking nosebleed.
No, they cannot. No,
like,
they cannot.
That's the problem. Like, that's the problem. And I think Kansas State is going to run through that ass like shit through a tin horn.
What Bijan Robinson did, Deuce Vaughn may also do. I would agree that that is very much a possibility in this game. But I also think Kansas has a good offensive line and is probably going to run the ball a little bit too. We'll find out. Saturday at 9:30 on ESPN, the Apple Cup.
All I ask for is totally apeshit football. That's all I ask for. Just give me your craziest Apple Cup.
This is more of a toss-up than some might realize, or like in my head, than I think people would realize, except I guess it's a 2-point spread for Washington, so maybe that's a straw man.
God, 2 points?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's actually not that big. I think Washington State has the chance to actually score some points here against Washington's defense. Washington State has not scored a ton of points this year, but they can run it a bit. The pass game never took off with Cam Ward, but as runners, Cam Ward and Nakia Watson have both done
They're kind of evenly matched now that Washington has come back down to earth.
But Washington themselves, after we kind of gave up on them being good, beat Oregon and is having what I think overall, and especially this will be true if they win this game, you have to consider a serious comeback season. Like if they win this game, it's a 10-win season, which absolutely qualifies for everything we said about them when we were bullish on them. It took 100%. A few losses. They had a few iffy wins and we kind of gave up. The results are about to be there if they win this game. Either way, it's a good comeback season for them. If they win this one, it's a great comeback season for them. Stephen Godfrey, what are you having for dessert on Thursday?
Oh, man, I hope it's at least 3 pies. I hope chess is involved. I'm a big fan of chess pie because it's the quintessential Southern dish of like, let's just do a lot of sugar and eggs together. Pecan, pumpkin, of course, and then maybe a wild card. Who knows? Let's get crazy.
Richard, what's your main, Richard?
You guys know that I'm not a big dessert guy. So look, I'm in charge of the turkey this year. I ran turkey for my Friendsgiving on Friday night. Look, I'm going to tell you this, folks, dry brine your turkey.
I knew he was going to say
before. Yeah, yeah. Salt, dry brine your turkey the night before. It is so easy. Pat the thing dry, put a half cup of salt all over it and all the crevasses, and you will actually have a juicy turkey that has flavor on Thursday afternoon. If you are a carnivore and don't like turkey, it's because you've had shit turkey your whole life. I would say fry it, but that's, I would say fry it, but that is a fire hazard in a lot of places. So frying is the best.
Who do you know frying a turkey in Brooklyn, man? You can't fry turkey in Brooklyn.
I know. If you can't fry, salt, dry brine, and roast.
We're going to be frying down in the 318. Y'all come on by.